John Molinaro is chief soccer reporter at Sportsnet. John Molinaro joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So, John, thanks for joining us. TFC wins 5-2. Is this the happiest Greg Vanney has been this year with his team? So, you know, post Champions League. Do you think did he see enough yesterday to make him think that even though the odds are, you know, the odds are still a little long against them, they at least might have a finishing kick in them?
Possibly. I mean, he was, to be honest, it was fairly muted after, after the final whistle. I mean, there wasn't, obviously the team celebrated, but they weren't sort of carrying on and just going on as if this was a major accomplishment. I mean, it is, but it's clear that, you know, getting into the playoff picture back in is on their mind, right? So if they can use this as some sort of springboard to that, to, you know, finally come good during the final 11 games of the season, then great. But, let's not kid ourselves. They've got a tough road ahead. I mean, they're still, I think, 7 points back. Games are running out. And they haven't shown the consistency this season that suggests that they can pull this off. So, it's a tough game against San Jose this weekend in California. I know San Jose is one of the worst teams in the Western Conference, but it is a road game. Toronto's going to be missing Jozy Altidore and Chris Mavinga through suspension. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of, you know, boost in momentum that game, that win last night in Vancouver gives them on Saturday.
Yeah, and Toronto FC, not only are they seven back, but there's three teams between them. And that playoff spot. And it's like anything else, you know, if there's three teams, that means you're in a position where you need help. You know, somebody's got to lose while you're winning. And conversely, you can't lose when somebody else is winning. It's a lot different than being 7 points back, but with nobody between you and that other team. At least it's a little more in your hands there. What made the difference last night between the two teams? Just Toronto FC's depth?
I think so, yeah. I mean, no disrespect to Vancouver, but, you know, they are, I would suggest, a modest team. Mm-hmm. God love Alphonso Davies, but you kind of wonder what kind of player he'd be if he had a stronger supporting cast. Sure. Around him. And Vancouver's defense is just horrible. I mean, I think this was like they've only kept three clean sheets and 28 games in all competitions this year. So, Toronto had a fairly easy time exploiting them. You look at the lineup too. I mean, it was probably one of the strongest lineups that Toronto fielded in recent memory, just because they've been dealing with injuries and whatnot. And that was after Victor Vasquez was originally named to the starting lineup, but then he had to pull out with a knee injury and they brought in Marky Delgado, who I thought probably had his best game of the season. I mean, that backheel pass that he laid off for Jozy on the first goal was sensational. So I think it was just a combination of Vancouver, you know, defensively being poor and not as good, just being not a very solid team, and Toronto really kind of going for it, right? And they had the advantage of the two road goals in the first leg, so there was a little bit of room for error there. And I think they just played with great confidence, and then they went for it. They didn't sit back. I mean, the easiest thing in the world would have been just to kind of invite Vancouver to come at them because they had to score, but they didn't. They were assertive right from the opening kickoff, and I think that was the difference.
Historically, what's been the difference between the Whitecaps and Toronto FC? You know, like the Vancouver Whitecaps, a long, proud tradition. Soccer in Vancouver has a long, proud, and I don't know if I'd say uninterrupted tradition, but I mean, the Whitecaps are a name that's been around for a long time. I mean, I can remember going back to, North American Soccer League, to things right. of that nature. What's the difference between these teams, not just on the pitch, but is there something in terms of the business model that separates these teams? Because, John, I got to tell you, man, I would think, Vancouver would probably, at least initially, have had an edge over Toronto in a couple of ways, and it doesn't seem as if they've necessarily cashed in on that.
No, I mean, as you alluded to, there's a rich soccer history in that city, and when Vancouver entered MLS in 2011, it wasn't team started from scratch. I mean, they were playing in the lower divisions in the USL. So unlike Toronto, which was a team literally starting from scratch, I think the difference has just been, and Vancouver fans will certainly tell you this, is that the Whitecaps have taken a much different approach than Toronto, especially in recent years. Toronto has not been afraid to go out and spend big on marquee players. Vancouver has taken, I would say, a much more conservative approach, and they spend, but clearly not to the levels that Toronto has. And I would suggest that a lot of their signings have been falling flat. Whereas you look at, you know, the batting average for Tim Bezbatchenko since he took over as GM, it's been pretty impressive. There's been some missteps, no doubt, but overall, I think the majority of signings he's made have made major impacts. You can't say the same for Vancouver. They brought in players from abroad, but not all of them have sort of, you know, been good additions. A lot of them have petered out, and they're not even there anymore. So I think it's just the way that they've gone about. I mean, Toronto's made a conscientious effort of building around, you know, a crop of designated players and surrounding them with a solid supporting cast. Vancouver has, taken a much more conservative approach in player recruitment.
So what has to happen down the stretch here for Toronto to have a realistic shot at making the playoffs?
I think they got to continue to get the best out of their best players. So Michael Bradley has to, you know, continue to hold things down in midfield. I think Jovinko and Altidore have to continue to bang in the goals. And I think defensively, they just have to sort of tighten up a bit. I mean, hopefully that's a little bit better for them because now with, you know, Drew Moore back in the mix. But I think they've been suspect at the back throughout this season. I think they've really missed Moore's leadership. And having Mavinga back certainly helped, but obviously he's going to be suspended for Saturday's game. So I think if they can just tighten up defensively and if their best players can really sort of be their best players down the stretch and really be difference makers in these tight games, then, you know, there's a good chance that they can sort of turn this around and get in the playoff picture.
What is it about Drew Moore that makes him so important to this team? Because you've mentioned him probably as much as any player this year when we've had you on talking about Toronto FC. And people are, look, you know, people think Toronto FC, you think Bradley, Jovinko, Altidore, maybe Osorio, Vasquez. I'd be willing to bet that unless you go out and watch the team every day and you're a diehard fan, you know, Drew Moore is probably not a name that comes to mind. But John, I don't know how many times you've spoken about his absence this year as being, you know, maybe not 100% the reason this team struggled, but certainly been a major contributor to it. Why is that?
I think he's just his experience, for one. I mean, it's very rare for any player in MLS to have, you know, 300 league appearances, and he's one of them. So it's just his experience and his leadership. I mean, I can't sort of overstate the importance of having a steady hand at the back, especially in this league. And Drew Moore is that. And, you know, he's not, I would suggest, the most charismatic guy, you know, just quiet sort of workmanlike demeanor. But on the field, you know, good organizer, you know, sees the play develop in front of him so he can communicate to his to his back line. And I think he just has generally like the overwhelming respect of everyone who plays with him because he's been in MLS for a long time and he's come up through the college system and he's seen everything and sort of develop very much in the same way that the league has over time. So I think he's just, you know, respected in that manner. And he's just, you know, as I said, I think he's been a crucial figure ever since coming to Toronto, you know, prior to the 2016 season in MLS. I mean, I long argued that, you know, one of the failings of this club for the longest time was that they didn't have a defensive quarterback, for lack of a better term. They really need someone back there to really boss things and who could sort of stand out as, you know, the defensive leader. And I think he's been it since he's come to Toronto.
You talked about Alphonso Davies a little bit, and he did play last night despite the injury. He also, I think, you know, you mentioned that you do wonder sort of how far along this kid would have been or you know, had he been with a different team. Your column the other day on sort of why more people weren't noticing him got me thinking, how much of this do you think is because of the fact that, and this is going to sound horribly Toronto-centric, and I don't mean it to, But, you know, let's face it, if Alphonso Davies was playing for Toronto FC and getting his chance and starting for Toronto FC, I'd be willing to bet he'd be better known than playing for Vancouver.
I think that's entirely fair. I think there's definitely, an East Coast, West Coast bias dynamic going on here. I don't think there's any question about that. Had he been playing for Toronto FC, again, in Canada's large mm-hmm. media market, that there'd certainly be more attention on him. That said, I still think it's pretty staggering that, considering who he is, his incredible personal backstory, and just the fact that, Canadian players don't generally sign with clubs like Bayern Munich, and certainly players like Alphonso Davies, a dynamic attacker who, can really is a game breaker. Canada just doesn't produce players like that very often. So the fact that this kid at 17 is going to play, in Germany soon for one of the biggest clubs in the world, it's a remarkable story. So I was just a little disappointed that, more of my colleagues in the media didn't sort of take notice, because Vancouver only comes here twice a year. They're going to come back in October. And so this was a chance to really sort of, get a chance to get to know him and just see what it's all about. I certainly wasn't expecting, I'm not saying I was expecting something like when Sidney Crosby or Alexander Ovechkin comes to trying to play the league, but certainly more of a media presence. But, I guess it is what it is, unfortunately.
Do you think that says anything about anything other than the fact that, summer, as I mentioned, I still think people have probably heard of him. And maybe the average sports fan has heard of him, but I just think the awareness, as I said, would be more if he was in Toronto. Well, that's not his doing. He can't help it. But I'm wondering if it's odd. I'm wondering if going over to Germany won't. I'm sure it'll raise his profile. And quite frankly, after about a month in Bayern, he'll probably become, depending what he does. Hopefully, he gets on the pitch. But if he gets on the pitch at all, he'll probably be more. Noted by people than if it had he stayed over here and played for the Whitecaps.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a combination of things. It's a summer thing. It's as I wrote, I think any soccer story, even a positive one like this, has a hard time moving the dial in this country, just because there's so much going on. So there's that, and I don't know how much I want to get into this, but I also think it's an indictment of the local media as well. Not to harp on it too much, but there isn't much going on in Toronto right now. The Leafs are off, the Raptors are off, the Jays are tanking.
Yeah,
and it's striking that you'll forgive me. I don't know his name, but the guy who made his debut for the Jays earlier this week, Jansen or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. That probably got more coverage than Alphonso Davies. We're talking about a guy who's making his debut for a losing baseball team is probably going to finish well under 500, I'm assuming, Jeff, right?
So it'd be under 400. Well, no, it won't be under 400.
There you go.
Yeah, it'll be under 500.
There you go. But that was, that was like the story of the week pretty much in Toronto media. And I don't know. Maybe it's my anti-baseball bias speaking here, but I just think that's, patently ridiculous.
Even though you have an anti-baseball bias, you're still welcome on here at any time.
Thank you,
know that. Take care.
Okay, Jeff.